It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. We also have a blog, if you check the website out. Thank you to Melissa Davis, film sociology producer emeritus, for getting the ball rolling this afternoon. It's just you and me today. Kobe Slagle, engineer, is on vacation with his fair sweet Bianca. That's a line from Shakespeare, folks. She knows that. So it's just you and me this afternoon. The big news, of course, in film sociology's world is that The Room, the Tommy Wiseau epic, is being seen tonight and tomorrow night at midnight at Landmark Keystone Arts Cinemas. I'll be there tonight. Hopefully you will be as well. But there's lots of stuff going on. Of course, we have the final weekend of the Indianapolis International Film Festival. You go to indiefilmfest.org for more information on that. We also have Captain America. Big blockbuster. I think I'm a little superheroed out, but we have another one anyway. It's not opening July 4th week or the Friday before July 4th for whatever reason, but it's opening today. And it stars Chris Evans for you fans of Fantastic Four in the title role. Some other familiar faces include Stanley Tucci, Hugo Weaving, and... Well, you see a little bit of Hugo Weaving. Toby Jones, Stanley Tucci, and Tommy Lee Jones. And Haley Atwell is Peggy Carter, the token girl in this film. Neil McDonough, Derek Luke. And, here's a little bit of audio. Why don't you check this out?
Rogers, Steven.
Just give me a chance.
Sorry, son.
I'm saving your life.
General Patton has said that wars are fought with weapons, but they are won by men.
You just don't know when to give up, do you?
I could do this all day.
Our goal is to create the greatest army in history.
I should be going with you. Look, I know you don't think I can do this.
This isn't a back alley, Steve. It's war.
But every army begins with one man.
Five tries in five different cities. I can offer you a chance.
He will be the first in a new breed of super soldiers.
Why me? Because the weak man knows the value of strength, knows the value of power.
That wasn't so bad.
That was penicillin.
We are going to win this war because we have the best men.
Now, Mr. Stark.
Nay. Personally, escort Adolf Hitler to the gates of hell.
How do you feel?
the first of many.
Your enemy is not what you expect.
I think it works.
The film is directed by Joe Johnston, who's given us, well, let's look at his track record a little bit. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, The Rocketeer, which I'll get to in a little bit, Jumanji, October Sky, Jurassic Park 3, Hidalgo, and The Wolfman. Nobody's perfect. Yeah, and this is from the same writing team that gave us the Chronicles of Narnia series. And I have to admit, I wound up liking this film a little more than I thought. I'm a little superheroed out, but there were a couple things going for this film that I did enjoy. It's not perfect. It's flawed. It's seriously flawed, which I'll get to in a sec. But love the look of it, and of course the fact that it is a period piece. It's set in 1941, of course, and we just World War II. We just in U.S.'s involvement in World War II, and as you hear. The lead, the man who will become Captain America, is a 98-pound weakling. So there is a little bit of Benjamin Button computer graphic. Where, in fact, there's a lot of computer work in this film that's it's very obvious, but it's actually used for good, not for evil, for a change. And so we get this kind of shrunken-up version of Chris Evans, and then we get the regular, that's the way he should be, Chris Evans. It did remind me a lot of Sky Captain and The World of Tomorrow, which I think is an underappreciated film, and you should go check that out if you've not seen it yet. That's, of course, the Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, Angelina Jolie, kind of a cliffhanger homage that's set in the 30s, if I remember correctly. But it is interesting that, yeah, Mr. Johnson also did The Rocketeer, which was another potential franchise that died in theaters and really unfair that it did, and that's another film you should go check out at the center of the video store, if there are any video stores left. But those two films are worth checking out, and it does have that feel. I like the kind of gritty 1940s computer-generated look to the film, and mixed in with some of the scientific stuff, technical term, that looks very, very modern and very, very today. So the look of it is very, very cool. You have reliable performances by Tommy Lee Jones, Stanley Tucci. Tommy Lee Jones just barks and does Tommy Lee Jones type things. Stanley Tucci, of course, is the German scientist who brings in the young lad to become Captain America. Toby Jones, always likes seeing Mr. Jones. And Hugo Weaving, who does a really good Sam Neill impression, whether he knows it or not, or Sam Neill is a German impression. Of course, he plays Red Skull. And the big flaw acting-wise is Chris Evans, and I just don't quite get it. But he kind of comes to that Josh Hartnett school of very bland leading men, and thought he didn't think he was all that fantastic in the Fantastic Four series, and just kind of dull here. So it's a good thing that he's surrounded by all these really good actors doing their character bits. You know, and the chemistry between Evans and Atwell is. It's okay. It's, I guess, needed in a film so women can go see the movie, although I don't necessarily agree that you have to have a romantic thing in every film. Another part of this film I wish I got to see more of was this crew. Now, and comic nerds will correct me on these, but there's a couple of characters like Derek Luke and Neil McDonough who are part of this crew that helps Captain America fight the Nazis, and I had a feeling that if they'd use more scenes with those guys, some folks would probably call it a Marvel comic version of Inglourious Basterds, and I guess they don't want that. That's a shame. Would like to have seen more of them, especially Neil McDonough with his bowler hat and giant mustache. He looks like the Pringles guy or the Monopoly guy at a young age. That being said, overall, not perfect. Oh, and guess what? You don't need to see this film in 3D either. There's one moment with the shield, and that's about it. Don't need to see it in 3D. Save your extra couple bucks so you can get popcorn or butter on your popcorn. Or popcorn on your butter, depending on how you like to eat it. But yeah, I enjoyed it. The other big thing I liked, We finally have a superhero with no dad issues, which is, well, several of them. So I've griped before. I want a superhero with mom issues, and it doesn't have to be Wonder Woman, or just want to have no issues at all. Apparently, Captain America had a good upbringing. That's fine. I'm okay with that. Give it a rest. Hug somebody. Anyway. But no, go check it out. I liked it more than I thought I did. And yeah, you can go see it. You can see it for full price, I guess. Definitely at a matinee.
Now that was a good movie.
It was. It was. So check that out. Better than Green Lantern, so that's fine. And yeah, I actually did like Thor, despite it's also a series of flaws in that film. And X-Men First Class. So probably X-Men. I think I would probably still pick X-Men First Class over Captain America. But very, very, very close race. I was able to catch up on a couple other films that I'll be brief about because I really want to save time for my interview with Tommy Wiseau. Since The Room is happening tonight and tomorrow night at Landmark Keystone Arts, a great excuse once again to play my epic chat with Tommy Wiseau from earlier this year. We'll get to that in a little bit. But there were two films that are probably not only two of the best films I've seen this summer, but it's got a good chance these two films might be on the top 10 list at the end of the year. The first is the first film I got to see in theaters twice this year, Winnie the Pooh. Yes. Yeah, I did. First time I saw it was a press screening. Second time was with my family up in Chicago because we had to do stuff in Chicago that involved staying indoors. But yeah, really enjoyed it. Love the fact that it was a throwback to the old 1960s shorts with Sebastian Cabot narrating, although this time it's John Cleese. And we have the re-installment, of pages and words and letters being involved in the story of the Hundred Acre Wood. And I think with this and the really sweet short film at the beginning about Loch Ness, the background story of the Loch Ness Monster, narrated by Billy Connolly. The film is not even 70 minutes. This is a perfect first film for you young parents out there or parents with young children. You know, if you got somebody who's 3, maybe 4 and aren't too fussy, give it a shot. I highly recommend seeing that in theaters. And the other one, of course, is Super 8. Yes, I reviewed something else that opened that week. It wasn't Super 8, but a slam bang Valentine, not homage, but Valentine to the Spielberg films of the 70s and 80s, of course, Close Encounters and E.T. and all of those suburban adventure films. Had a spontaneous lump in the throat near the end of the film, and I don't want to give it away, but it involves the locket. And those who've seen the film, you know what I'm talking about. So really, really glad I caught up on that in theaters as well. So I know it's starting to drift a little bit from the multiplexes, so go check it out while you can. Oh, speaking of multiplexes, and I forgot to mention this with the Captain America, now there's talk. There is the end of the film justifies what, you know, the Avengers series, which is going to come out, the Avengers, which comes out next year. And I don't think I read an article that they didn't have, and there was an extra little nugget after the credits. I didn't see it. And there was articles saying that they didn't have the second nugget or the after credits nuggets for the press screenings. And I had somebody, one of my colleagues at Nuvo, call me on AM radio this morning saying he saw it. I think he went and saw it at midnight. I can't remember correctly. And was able to see the extra nugget afterwards. And that's fine. I have things to do. So I'll just wait for the Avengers movie to come out. That'll be fine for me. But in general, you really should be sticking around for the credits anyway. Those people worked really, really hard for your entertainment dollar. And, you know, the more time you spend in the theater, the better. And in this case, this week, the cooler. So, okay, let's take a short break. I'm going to do some DVD titles and then my classic interview with Tommy Wiseau. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. We'll be right back.
everyone. This is Tommy Wiseau, and you're listening now to Film Sociology at the WFYI Indianapolis.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I could do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, just you and me today, Kobe and Bianca are in Vegas, lucky for them. No, I don't think that's going to happen. Relax. Just stay with the show, okay? Just a reminder, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday are the last 3 days of the Indianapolis International Film Festival. They're giving out their awards tomorrow, and then the award-winning films will be screened on Sunday. So you can go to indiefilmfest.org for all the times and screenings at the IMA, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be at the after party tomorrow night after I get done with the Blues House Party, and hopefully you will be there as well. And, of course, tonight at midnight and tomorrow at midnight, The Room at Keystone Arts. Yes, Landmark Keystone Arts up at the Keystone and the Crossing. We'll have my interview with Tommy Wiseau in just a little bit, but I do want to go over a couple of DVD and Blu-ray titles this week. Well, first we have Limitless, which became a surprise hit with Bradley Cooper and Robert De Niro. Cooper playing a writer who gets a drug that he's able to use 100% of his brain, and good and bad, and apparently ugly things happen in that film. We also have the comedy Take Me Home Tonight that starred and I believe was produced by Topher Grace, which was set a wacky comedy set in the 80s, but it was also on the shelf for 4 years. So take that for what it's worth. And my DVD pick of the week, as far as new titles, is Potiche. It's the latest film from Francois Ozon, and it stars Catherine Deneuve and Gerard Depardieu, who are working together again. I think this is like their fourth or fifth film together. But it's set in the 70s. Deneuve plays a dominated housewife whose husband owns an umbrella factory. And when the husband, well, just wacky things happen, and Ms. Deneuve winds up having to take over the business. And she meets up with an old flame, played by Depardieu, who is now a union boss. And, of course, if you're a fan of The Last Metro back from 1980, it's good to see them working together again. And I've always had a special place in my heart for Catherine Deneuve. And it's good to see quality work by not only finding a good, strong female role, but also a female role over the age of 40, or dare I say 50. And Deneuve carries the film. It's also a film where the decade, the period, is not used as a punchline. Hello, Wedding Singer, as much as I enjoyed that film. Too many jokes in that one. In a comedy? Yeah. But it's not one of those, oh, let's look at the wacky clothes and the wacky hair and the wacky music of the 70s. There are moments of that, but it doesn't browbeat you. It's just fun to see Catherine Deneuve carry a film and then be able to bounce off of Gerard Depardieu on screen, literally and figuratively. So I think it played in town for a week, maybe a couple weeks, and Francois Ozon, who I will always thank you. I always say thank you for making the film Swimming Pool for you Charlotte Rampling fans out there. But yeah, go find it, and actually it's actually worth buying as well.
Now that was a good movie.
It was. Okay, some older titles that are now out on Blu-ray, and the question is, do you have it on DVD? Do you have to buy it again? And does the Blu-ray have more additional features than the DVD? That's what I'm asking. But some of these films, if you were checking out again, of course, the wonderful French film Amélie, which introduced many people in the United States to Audrey Tautou. You have Chocolat, yes. Some people loved it. Some people snarked at it. But it's, you can't, I can think of worse times to spend than 2 hours of Juliette Binoche with chocolates. Johnny Depp's in it, too. And Alfred Molina. The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, which was a big film shown at the Heartland Film Festival when it came out a couple years ago with Vera Farmiga and David Thewlis. This was, of course, the Holocaust drama with the son of a Nazi officer making friends with the title character, a young boy who's on the other side of the fence, literally on the other side of the fence. Kind of standard Holocaust fare. That being said, still, the last 10 minutes are still pretty damn devastating. Also on Blu-ray this week, from 1990, John Singleton's Boys in the Hood, his directorial debut. He became, of course, the youngest director to be nominated for Best Director. I love Boys in the Hood, excellent film. I wish that director was back here. Also, from 1946 on Criterion, the French version of Beauty and the Beast. No singing inanimate objects in this one. Also on Blu-ray, if you must, Bridget Jones's Diary. Nice film, sequel not needed. And Nowhere to Run, because you need Jean-Claude Van Damme on Blu-ray. All right, ladies and gentlemen, his film is playing tonight and tomorrow night at Landmark Keystone Arts, The Room. Here's my chat with Tommy Wiseau. Joining me on Film Sociology is auteur, because you are a man of many skills, Tommy Wiseau. How are you, Tommy?
Hi, how you doing, Moss? You?
Doing great. Now, this is going to be your second appearance, if I remember correctly, at IU for The Room. How was it the last time you were in town?
Oh, we have such a groovy time that they decided to invite us again, and I'm thrilled. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you to all the fans there, and hopefully we'll have a groovy time, and everybody's invited.
Well, we will be there as best we can.
Sure.
So how did you get interested in cinema?
Well, that was a long time ago, believe it or not.
Are you okay?
I am okay. My phone is ringing right now. I apologize.
That's okay. I thought it was a submarine for just a minute.
No problem. You have a great sense of humor. I like that.
Thank you.
To respond to your question, you know, I used to want to sing, believe it or not. And some people actually, I can sing, but never mind about that. Film has always been was in my heart, you know, was in the sense and always would be, you know, because image, you know, people remember, et cetera. Through all these years, I studied psychology, and this relates to, you know, to how you can connect to people. It's a lot of stuff. We probably don't have the time, but just to briefly to tell you that my first movie actually was The Robbery Doesn't Pay. It's just a short movie I did for class. And I can tell you one thing. I got that A-. You know why it's minus?
Why is that?
Because I use a black and white and colors. And a lot of people ask me, why you use this colors? Like, why is not only one color? And I said, you know what? The reason for it is because of the I wanted people to provoke people. And you see, The Room, it's the same thing. If you really translate my vision a long time ago about movies, what I see now. And again, I have a great respect for, this is just a little off from your question, but for everyone who produced the movie, because, you know, it is what it is. It's very difficult art. What you make a big effort, and it's, I always say, you have to be detail oriented to accomplish something. And as you probably guys know, that some people already know, it's a lot misleading about The Room, about production, etc. online. And hopefully people are in few days that will ask me direct question if they will attend the screening. So move on, next question.
Okay, well, I would say to jump on what you said, yeah, regardless of what people think about whether something is good or something is bad, making a movie is really damn hard. And
it is.
The fact that you not only wrote and directed and acted, especially in the case with The Room, I mean, it is a task to organize and get everything that, not only from a technical aspect of getting everything that you need, you know, but making sure everything is smooth on the set. How are you on the set when it comes to a director? What kind of atmosphere do you have?
I love a set, you know, but if you're, you know, I always say the set is my house, actually, the theater. I mean, if you refer to the room, it's supposed to be a play. I don't know if you know that. I don't want to repeat myself because it will be boring, but just really very quickly background of the room. Supposed to be played first, and then I decided to, you know, write a script, etc., because of my 600 pages novel, which hopefully somebody want to publish right now, but we're working on it.
It's a 600-page novel this is based on?
Correct.
Wow.
And that was, keep in mind, again, since I'm talking to you, like I say, we don't have too much time, but very quickly, see, people don't realize this nothing happened by accident, you know, like people say, oh, this accident, that accident. For example, I'm talking as the director right now, I can create a certain ambience and I can anticipate something, but I have to plan. Without planning, you don't have it. And I don't care what you, if you, for example, doesn't lead me to, again, to your first question about production. You know, if I don't care if you do 5 minutes movie or feature movie. Guess what? Irony of a story is, for all of you guys to listen now right now, that is the same thing. The difference is you spend more money or you make it. You know, you involve more people, but you need the beginning, you need the middle, you need the end. I rest my case. But the room is based on a 600 novel, over actually 600. So people will be surprised. And I noticed, I don't know, Matthew, if you noticed, in the past few years, people actually grasp what was creating. And again, I'm thrilled to say that I'm happy with the fans and great support. And you know, sometimes we do have a bad apple, but you know what? I just accept whatever people, you know, have comments about the room. And again, I don't always say you have to. Actually, my motto is that if a lot of people love each other, the world will be a better place to live. By this talking from the room, you see, it doesn't matter that. You don't have to write the like the room. And I want to stress that because a lot of people think that, oh, yeah, you don't. You see, that's the difference between me as a director, as an actor, you as the audience as well, the listener, that you have choice. And that's what the room is. And I think maybe that's the reason. I didn't conclude 100%, Matthew, but I'll tell you one thing, that maybe that's the reason is that people are, we have great support right now with people because they do see my vision and directly, you know. Mm-hmm. Either they'll, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't like this. Well, that's fine. It's nothing wrong. Same with me, you know. If I, for example, see some movie, which I don't even ask me for a name, I may drop a couple of names. Maybe.
Okay.
But if I see a movie, it doesn't mean that I have to like all of it. I may, you know, like just a segment of it, etc. Move on, next question.
Will is the book published or will it be published?
No, right now, currently, actually, I'm working with one publisher, very big guy, actually, one of the biggest publisher company. I don't know what will happen. It's up to them, you know. Again, I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to bashing anyone. That's not my motto, you know.
Okay, yes.
I was beat up, you know. People beat me up many times. But true fans of the room, like in your school, you know, I'm like, I love you guys. Let me tell you this way, you know,
we're
ready, ready for pictures, and we'll have a groovy time. Move on, next question.
Where did the source for the inspiration for the room begin? Hopefully, it's not autobiographical.
Well, let me tell you, this is from life. You see, we all have, I don't know, you have opportunity to see several times the movie or not, but mm-hmm. The fact is that it's from life, relationships, you know, drugs issues. Just recently, I believe on CNN, I have an interview with Greg, and actually I say very publicly, I would say right now too, you know, between 12 and 2 in America, you have number of crime committed is very high. You may laugh with my statement, but guess what? I studied this,
mm-hmm.
and this is the statistically speaking. Okay, now mostly people see the room in America midnight, So I rest my case. You may say, well, maybe yes, maybe not. But I say to you, yes, it does eliminate indirectly crime. Besides this, as you probably know, and your young audience know about it, that we do not have, and I'm very strongly about it, and I think this is message maybe for, I'm not a politician yet, but this is message for mayors of the cities, you know, across the country. You guys, give young people places to express themselves, parks, trees, play footballs, you know. We don't have these places anymore. I'm trying from north to south, from south to east, or whatever, name it. It's the same issue, the same problem, you know, and it's not right, you know, because I think young person, even older person, and we all have certain tendency to express ourselves emotionally through playing football or just whatever you want to do, you know, and we don't have this kind of places, you know, and that's why, you know, people are sometimes doing drastic things, and that's the gray area. What I think people should realize about the room, and I am very strongly about it, and I'm surprised the big media does not pick up this, you know, because it's true. This is the story. And move on, next question. So
no, it's all right.
I'm
it's
just
cool.
Give you a little speech here.
No, it's okay. Nobody wants to hear me talk. They want to hear you.
No, I want you to talk too. Just jump in anytime.
Well, I was saying,
tell me, it's enough now.
Well, say
okay, 10 more minutes. All right, move on, next question.
Were you jilted by a woman like this in the film?
Well, let me tell you, I've been in a relationship. I will not say I was not.
Okay.
Like, I will tell you very honestly, two is better than three, but three is crowd. However, you can have three friends.
Yes.
And I will tell you one thing, that there's nothing wrong when Johnny in the movie, you know, say to Danny, it's okay to love somebody else. But the same time, it's process of learning how far you can go as a person. Mm-hmm. How far you can go, do you have to actually do something physically, or you just to say, look, I love you, man, or I love you to a girl or guy. It doesn't matter. You see, that's what the beauty in a relationship, that we understand and have respect, and how tempting it is. I've been in many situations, I don't know you guys, but we all been there, that's tempting to be very close to someone, you know, or you have certain opportunity, but then you pay for it, you know, by breaking relationships or a relationship. I believe very strongly that we've all been there. If not, I say many times that the room is a red flag. Wait a minute, why should you do when you later on you will regret it? Mm-hmm. And I don't care how strong you are, how much money you have, that's irrelevant. You know, bottom line is, you know what? Feelings you cannot buy it, Matthew. And that's the irony in the room.
Well, I say, you have people, you have now hundreds and thousands of people loving you with these screenings. You talk about a place for kids to go. When you have these screenings on campus and in theaters, you know, people have said that you single-handedly brought back the Midnight movie and the cult movie.
Right.
Well, not too much pressure, I hope.
No, I love public, and I always will. The fans, that's priority for me, you know. So it's pressure, little pressure's there, but I like it.
And now, I know right after The Room, you did the documentary, you co-directed the documentary Homeless in America, is that right?
Correct, yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know a lot of people know The Room, but you have done other things since.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the homeless in America is totally different topic, as you probably know about it since you asked, is dealing with the homelessness in America. And again, you see, long story short, you cannot eliminate homelessness. And now, since you mentioned this topic, it is what it is, as you know, in America, because of the economy. Actually, I'm working on a new movie about relate to economy, and it's relate also to indirectly to homelessness. So again, this is the gray area, what people don't realize. And again, you see, some people say, oh, you know what, we can eliminate homelessness. Well, I have not, for you all your expert, you know, from politician to media, no, you cannot eliminate homelessness. If you look at a long time ago, let's say 200, 300 years ago, not this country, but other countries, you already have a homeless indirectly. But it was not recognized the way we recognize. But the good news is that if we learn about it, we will not have in America, which is, you know what, Matthew, it's really hurt my feelings that I see this people actually, you know, laid out on the street in America, underneath the bridges. You know, it's sad. It is very eerie situation. But the good news is that we have a lot of dedicated people. And I wish, you know, I don't wish, but I probably will do another documentary. Like, I want to expose all the people actually doing good things for homelessness, people who never been recognized for their hard work, without, you know, to help these people, because it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And again, you see, I'm across America, I see this, you know, I just come back from Houston, the same thing. People say, oh, we don't have a homeless. Well, I'm sorry, you do have, you know. Mm-hmm. But the good news, again, is that we can eliminate, we can help these people. And that's what I come from, you know. Homeless was, did this movie just to find out the truth, not because somebody told me. And what I discovered was pretty eerie, if you ask me. But the good news is we can improve with optimism and good spirit in America. Move on, next question.
What's the status on The House That Drips Blood on Alex?
Well, first of all, I was hired as an actor. Let me stress
right.
that. As well as only as an actor. Okay, I did not direct. They direct. That was Comedy Central. They air it on TV and they put online. And, they supposed to do second episode, I don't know, was pretty excited project, was paid job, of course.
Yes.
And, it was good experience. They could do better, but, you see, it's not me to judge. You know, some people like it, some people don't.
Well, I think what's been great is that you've been able to go from, you know, you did and I mean this as a compliment.
No problem.
I think the term melodrama gets a bad connotation, and so to go from a melodrama to documentary to horror, I mean, and just even you know, you're just acting in that, you're able to go from one genre to another.
Well, I think that's a compliment. If you ask me, you don't have to apologize, but you see, I don't call it, and again, this is your statement, melodrama. You may argue that The Room partially is melodrama based on the talking, if you analyze Johnny's character.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, you got me on that one. But at the same time, the reason we call black comedy, again, people don't realize black comedy leading towards melodrama.
Right.
Melodrama, as you probably know, define melodrama is based. It's more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you much more dramatic approach. But I don't know the story again. I will say very openly that I have some friends that they're really melodramatic, if you ask me.
We all do, Tommy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, this is based on my research, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, that hopefully we have more discussion like that about with the fans as well, with you guys, with media, because Matthew, you're part of the media one way or the other.
Yep.
Actually, I'd like to have a program, you know, if you guys can organize it while there, we can have big discussion, you know. So it's up to you guys. But anyway, move on. Next question.
You talk about dark comedies, black comedies. What are some of your favorites?
What do you mean?
Are there other dark comedies like Dr. Strangelove or Harold and Maude that inspired you?
Well, you see, again, I inspire myself, but however, good point. I like, for example, if you look at not so much comedy or, you know, to me, comedy, let's put it this way, comedy drama melodrama, black comedy, whatever you define, I define as the colors. Colors means the more colors you have in within your project, in this case, The Room or other movies, even including Homeless in America, as you mentioned, you will not just to provoke people, but it will be interesting to see your project or movie, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, some people say, oh, this is short, this is long, whatever. But the colors for me is very important. Now, to respond to your question, I influence myself, whether I'm fond of, for example, Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
Because, again, this is the manipulation of woman aspect in life, if you compare it to Juliet in The Room. Now, Orson Welles, for example, Citizen Kane, Giants with James Dean, and others. Why these people we watching, by my research, a lot of people watching from time to time, what is the reason? What is behind? Or is my case, The Room, we can say the same thing. What is behind? Is it that bad because it's good, or is it good, is it bad? Well, as you know, Matthew, bad is expression, also is good, mm-hmm. in slang in America, as you know.
Yes.
If you have two guys walking and they are close friends, they will not say, oh, this is great movie. They say, oh, this is so bad, you have to see it. And again, people, I don't understand, but, you know, some of the stuff, you know, I'm just laughing because it's laughable, to be honest with you. But the bottom line is people enjoy this film, and that's the bottom line. And we have a really great discussion like we have right now. So we have 10 more minutes. Move on, next question.
Okay. I'll say, besides the documentary about the economy, is there any scripts or feature films that you have planned?
Yes, absolutely. I'm working on vampire movie as well as Alex Blood, Vampire the Alex, as well. There will be continuous what we did with Comedy Central, but slightly different angle. As well as I'm working currently, I'm shooting The Neighbors. We are casting currently, actually today, believe it or not. So I'm working very hard to entertain people. Hopefully people have a groovy time.
I'm saying, where's the what do you think will happen next? Which one do you think will come, or is it, you know, whatever comes to you first?
Well, The Neighbors actually be available within probably 2 months. We're doing 5 episodes, and The Economy water released before June. A Vampire I'm working, but at the same time, I don't know if you're aware, but we'll be releasing Blu-ray of The Room, and that'll be before Christmas, as well as I'm working also on the 3D movie as well, 3D of The Room.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm doing the testing almost as we speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did some of it because we are, I don't know if you want to hear more about it, but just one sentence about it. We are scanning from 35 millimeter print.
Right.
I'm referring to 3D of The Room.
Mm-hmm.
The Room with in 3D.
So the love, we're going to get even closer to the love scenes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
So we're going to get even closer to you guys during the love scenes.
I think so.
as a director, what do you what's some of the things that you do to help out actors? I know you had a fairly young cast on The Room, but how do you approach actors from a directing standpoint? And how do you direct yourself?
Well, directing is very tough, you see. So again, I have a system of, if you refer to the room, I had a system, and now I have a system as well, that, you know, I'm doing ratio 1-4, and basically I believe in a rehearsal process. In The Room, we have like, 6 months rehearsal before we shot The Room, but I don't know if the story is, but I did change the actors several times, as well the crew was changed 4 times. So a lot of actors, there's only 1-2 person who actually been with me for a long time, what you see on the big screen. But to respond to your question, I'm a very detail-oriented person, if I may say that. Yes, of course I can say that.
You just did.
but at the same time, I'm not self-centered. Let me say that, too. My system is pretty straightforward. What I can share with you if you want to hear.
Please.
Well, you record yourself, and you watch yourself, and then you try to adjust base what you see. And I believe in adjustment, you see, at the same time, but you have to, one of the gray areas, you have to eliminate your subjective approach. So you go based as I am as a director, I say, what is the character saying, what he or she is doing, what's the situation? So it's the last obstacle come to your brain, and you have to divide it. You cannot combine together because then you get lost. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see yourself, then you record again and say, okay, I like this scene. No, I have to improve that, okay? And when you are good actors, by the way, I never say on the records that actors are good or bad. What I'm saying, sometimes they don't give us certain, they're not sharing this. They're not giving enough. What I mean by that, they're missing the colors. Because any actors could be very, the best of the best. And that's why the reference to actors, some people sometimes ask me and say, can you cast this particular person because he or she make $20 million? I say, absolutely not. Because I already know that they cannot offer what I think I'm looking for. So for all of you, for all your listeners, it's not... You have to be popular, acting is sharing. That's basically my definition of good acting, if I can say good acting. But I try not to divide it good and bad as an actor because I'm not a critic. I'm just going by provocation. My job as a director to provoke people positive ways if I can. So if I do that, I do a good job as far as in my hands, in my eyes. Now, about the system, so that's basically when I shot the room, I recorded this VHS tape. And by the way, I'm still writing the book about it, the difference between the HD and 35, because we use both cameras. I know it's laughable a little bit, but you know what? The way I see it this way, the simplicity is virtue of success. What I mean by that is very interesting. Even today, after all these years, I still cannot find there's something where people say, okay, this is the HD, this is 35, this is the difference. That's the money what you spend on 35, that's what you spend on HD. I still don't have that. And this is the thing what I said on DVD very openly, that Hollywood was confused. And I was confused myself. And people literally say, oh, he didn't know what he was doing. Again, guys, some of you guys listening to this, you're incorrect. Please ask the question. I'll be glad to explain you what I meant by that, okay? But today, what we do, like we'll be doing, for example, The Neighbors, because I'm playing one of a Charlie character, I'll be recording myself and just watch it and analyze, okay, that's what I want. That's not what I don't want. But I have also assistant as well. So I work with two or three assistants. In the room, I have like four different assistants. So I say, you guys watch this, you give me feedback, you know what I'm saying? So it's very hard work if you refer to directing, acting as well. It's not easy job, but it's very, I love it, you know, I like it.
I say, tell a little bit, for those who don't know what The Neighbors is, why don't you refresh them?
Yeah, let me clarify. The Neighbors, it's a sitcom, it's TV pilot. It's, again, you see, I like variety. So we go from homeless to the room, from vampire to The Neighbors. Matthew, you are good.
Thank you.
I know how be the sound, how they will listen to your audiences. The Neighbors is dealing with, again, relationship. It's a character, Charlie. You can go to the room. It's theneighborssitcom.com, and you see the synopsis as well, the characters that we are currently working on. Right now as we speak. Yes.
Well, I say you mentioned earlier about singing. Any plans maybe doing a musical somewhere down the line?
Actually, you know what? We actually working on the remix of their words from the lyrics from the script, and you probably hear something probably because we're working currently. Last year we did some stuff that we never published. So soon you can hear something.
I say, like you said, from stage to movies to documentaries to television, you're never bored.
No, I like variety. If you ask me, so we have two more questions. I'm sorry, I have to go.
Oh no, that's okay. I would say, has there been any movies out recently that you've been able to watch and enjoy recently?
Yes, but I will not tell you because then people are blogging about it. But I will tell you one thing. I give you one clue.
All right.
See, I make a laugh on you.
Okay.
That's great. I tell you one is dealing with started in S, like a social. I am not telling you the name.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right. Boy, you keep us hanging.
It was very easy to find out. Come on, you know about it.
Yes, yes. I say, how was it working with Tim and Eric?
That was pretty good, yeah. They're very nice people to work and very given, but sometimes we're not on the same page, but I've been working with them for four times. Let's see, 4 times, yes. And they're a very given person and people, you know. They're very creative. That's what the entertainment is about, creation.
Tommy, thank you so much for your time. I can't wait to see you in Bloomington on Tuesday. I'll get in touch with John, and hopefully we can meet up before or afterwards.
Yeah, no problem. And also, if you need any images, whatever, let us know, and thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Take care.
No problem. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. That was my chat with Tommy Wiseau from February of this year. His film The Room is playing tonight and tomorrow night at Landmark Keystone Arts Cinema. We got a little bit of time left. Here is from the website Tommy Explains It All. The first question involves, do you prefer sunsets or sunrises? And then a two-part question about acting.
I like both, actually. I like a sunrise and sunset. Why? Because it's different. It's not the same. If you see the sun go down, you can watch it. It's, oh my God, look at that. I did the experience myself. I was in the beach. I said, God, no, we cannot go till it's go down. You go down, go down. You jogging, sun go up, up. You want to see it. So it's spectacular. It's really fun. I like both. Again, we talk about colors. And remember, colors relate to acting. It's a, I would say, big time, okay? Let's just use a little slang here. And the reason I'm using this, because this way you have fun with it, okay? And you may say, oh, Tommy is funny, or whatever you come to your mind. For example, white color to a blue color, from a blue to relationship. How you send the line, for example, you are tearing me apart, Lisa! What is behind the words? You are tearing me apart, Lisa. Who is the Lisa, you might ask? That's what we talk about. If you brainstorm this line, different, sharpen different, that's what you have the colors. What is the pitch of the line? You who are so smart, you who try to actually discredit creator of the room, think about it. And I will tell you one thing, that shame on you. Shame on you that you criticize someone or something which you don't know about. And I don't want to go to very negative thing, but the shame on you again. Now, let's go back to colors again. You have 20%. Before you have 20%, you have 100%. So you go 20, 40, 60, 80, and then you have 100. The color sphere is the same thing. You may have one color which is great. You say, oh, this is great for my project. But you know what? It's not enough. What I mean the colors mean You give people choices. You give people something that we relate to it. For example, crying, relationship. Like I mentioned with The Room, you have so many different subliminally messages. And some of them are extremely powerful. So some of you who are writing some of this stuff about colors, I'm sorry to tell you, you don't know what you talk about. Because colors relate to the detail work. Imagine, for example, painter paint canvas in blue, and that's all what you see, okay? Suddenly, he put add different colors to it. And what you have? People will say, oh, what is this? People say, oh, I like this blue. What is this? Does it have an image? But you have many colors. Acting is given. Chemistry, relationships, etc., etc. And that's what I call good acting. But again, let me contradict myself. As I define, it doesn't mean somebody else can define slightly differently. But guess what? We can be on the same page. Because why? Again, because we have a lot of colors and we can relate to it. Okay? So acting is given. You cannot say, okay, this is the script. Oh, the guy has a big accent and how are you doing? Okay, the words, how are you doing? What is behind the words? How are you doing this way? Oh, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing? So what is the colors? Is it nice? Is it good? Is it bad? John Wayne, for example. Why he was so good with cowboys and horses and all this stuff. Look at how many colors he has. You can see it. You can see through him. Why his movies are so, and he give us something we can relate to it. But you see, he specialized. He knew that certain stuff, it works for him because it's so natural too. And by doing, you discover more colors and you'll be the best of the best. I don't like to talk to empty wall. I want to have an actor in the front of me. And as you know, our typical filmmakers, what they do, they put, oh yeah, we don't need you anymore. Let's just move on to you talk to the wall. So you actually don't know who you're talking to. I don't like that, be honest with you, because it's cheating. It's cheating actor as well cheating audience. As well cheating the performance. And this is for some of the big guys from Hollywood, which I admire, okay? Because some of them are my friends. I like dramatic. I like it, for example, a chase scene, a special agent, FBI agent I can play. I love this kind of stuff. Chase, like I say, fast cars, I like that. You know, again, Hitchcock is a perfect example for drama as well, suspense, etc., etc. So that's my area. So again, the colors are very, very essential for acting. If you don't realize that, again, by doing, eventually you will say, you know what, now I got this. And by doing, you will discover all these colors you have within yourself because it's just a question, open certain doors. And, you know, each time I'm going to stage, people like to laugh. I don't know why. They like my pitch of my voice, maybe. Maybe I have more colors than anybody in the world. I don't know, be honest with you. But you know what makes me happy?
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
That's all the time we have. Go see The Room tonight. Tomorrow night, Landmark Key Cinemas. I'll be there tonight. Go see The Room. You deserve it. I'm Matthew Soucy. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.